Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Navy SEAL and author Chad Williams. He's sharing from his outstanding book, The Seal of God. Thanks for joining us and be blessed by this program continued in progress.
And you run over 200 miles during this time, carrying a telephone log or a boat with your crew wherever you go. Not a dry moment as you are shivering cold. We call it jackhammering cold because you look like you're hanging on to a jackhammer. I went through in February when the water temperature is the coldest out of the year. And you know, after all this physical exertion and sleep deprivation, it leads into a funny one looking back is, hallucinations. I grew up watching Ninja Turtles. And so, of course, you know, while I'm at my weakest mentally and physically out there, what am I seeing in the water? I see like Leonardo and Donatello popping up out of the water, you know, looking at me. And it just seems so real. I'm trying to smack him with my paddle. but that's just a little 5.5-day picture of about a 2-year-long pipeline. And so SEAL training, I think the numbers speak for themselves. Out of that 173 by graduation day, only 13 of that class, that original class number, still standing there. And that graduation day, I mean, that was a huge moment because, you know, going back to, you know, that junior college where I'm thinking, man, if I could just become a SEAL. And then doing it for so much more in honor and memory of my mentor. You know, it was one of the happiest days of my life. It was one of the most fulfilling moments of my life. You know, this sense of like, we did it. Looking up thinking, we did it, Scott. So I got family and friends. They're there. As I'm having that moment where I'm getting this thing called the SEAL Trident, which is our insignia that we wear on our chest that says, basically, this is your new identity. Welcome to the Brotherhood. And so just going back to that sort of, just that search, that meaning of life, trying to find identity, trying to find purpose. Like, well, now I could put it in, I have become a Navy SEAL. Like, I've become one of the elite. I've become, you know, one of these covert operators that the movies are made about. You know, that's the fraternity that I'm a part of now. Not only was this one of the happiest moments of my life, but I got to be honest with everyone listening right now. It didn't take more than probably 24 hours before I felt like the wind came out of that sail and before I felt like everything began to go downhill and just circle a drain from that point forward. And initially, I could not wrap my mind around why at the time. And it was years later I heard these words spoken by a Christian philosopher, where I thought, those words explain it. That was the experience. Finally, something nails it on the head. These were the words. He says, one of the loneliest moments a man will ever experience is when he has achieved that which he thought would deliver the ultimate, and in the end, it lets him down. One of the loneliest moments a man will ever experience when he's achieved that which he thought would deliver the ultimate, and in the end, it lets him down. What he's referring to right there is something I believe every listener right now is familiar with, at least to some degree. Sometimes we talk about it as the human condition. Sometimes we refer to it this way. Oh, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And so what's going on is, you know, there are people out there that are not quite satisfied, not quite content. They don't have fulfillment in life just yet. Well, what do you want, man? Well, they buy into this belief, well, if I just had a little bit more. And so we get into this vicious cycle of thinking, if I just had a little bit more, you get there, you eat it up, you're satisfied like you thought you would be, but then you're hungry again. You set your sights on a new goal, you thirst after it, you get there, you drink it up, you're satisfied, you're hungry and thirsty all over again. And seemingly there just is no end, but there is an end point, and that is the whole point to that quote, is one of the loneliest moments. See, the big question is this for everyone listening. What happens when you finally arrive at a place where you no longer can just raise the bar? You no longer can say, well, maybe I just need to set my sights a little bit higher, gain a higher level of education. You know, maybe what we're missing is, you know, maybe I need a relationship. Maybe I need a spouse. Maybe we need kids. Maybe we need grandkids. Maybe we need a bigger home. But you keep moving that bar. What happens when you finally have arrived at a place where you're at the peak of the mountain? And like all the other times before, you're hungry, you're thirsty for more. But unlike all the other times, this time, there is no next. That's where you get those words. One of the loneliest moments a man will ever experience when he's achieved that which he thought would deliver the ultimate. In the end, it lets him down, but Jesus puts it best. He says, what's it profit a man if he gains the whole world but in the end, loses his soul. The reality is that you can gain the whole world, but if you have no peace with your Creator, you will never experience genuine peace in your life while you're here on earth.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Chad Williams. He's the author of an outstanding book called The Seal of God. He's been sharing about his journey and his life. He was a Navy SEAL, served our country from 2004 to 2010. He now is serving in full-time ministry work, and he is going to be here in Central Kentucky on October 21st. We'll be giving you more details about that, but... Well, Chad, what a journey you had, and then share with us about that moment where you finally realized, you know what, there's got to be more to this, and I need to talk to my Creator. Share with us about that moment.
It was a night, March 14, 2007. I had big plans of going out and just drinking and partying. You know, I felt like at that stage of my life, I just didn't feel anymore, but what was it that made me feel, what was it that stimulated me was to go out and just cut loose with the guys. And so, as I'm prepared to go out and do that another time, I got confronted by some people that really care about me. They kind of saw how I was getting a little reckless, and so they're confronting me with this whole, you know, hey man, you're gonna get yourself killed or somebody else killed. And I wish I could tell you I felt some type of remorse, but I just didn't at the time. You know, all I thought was, you know what, I'll just get them off my back and do what they want me to do, which was they wanted me to go to a church event. And so this is like a midweek thing in the evening. I had plans of going out that night, but I thought, you know what? I'll go. I'll punch my card in at church. I haven't been in a long time. And I'll just do this to get them off my back. Buy me a little bit more time. And so I figured I could suffer through it. It'll be over by 9 o'clock at night. And I'm not even going to start my night till like 10 or 11. And so we go. And as we're there, I hear this story of this soldier by the name of Naaman. And how this guy, you know, he had it all. All, you know, by outward appearances, you know, he's this mighty man of valor. Sounds like he could have been a SEAL had there been such a thing during his time. But the bad news was he had a very serious disease that was terminal. It was leprosy. And Jesus, looking back, said nobody during the time of Naaman had ever been healed of leprosy. And ultimately what it would require is for him to go and see this prophet that served the God of Israel. It's a 150-mile trip in enemy-occupied territory. He's bringing so much gold and silver, thinking he could buy this gift. And what it ends up taking really is an act of humility. You know, at first the prophet doesn't even come to the door. He sends a servant to the door. He gets told if you just go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, when you come up, your flesh will be restored to you. You'll be clean. He becomes enraged by that because he's thinking, really? Like, if I could just go wash it off, why don't I go wash it off back home in Damascus, where I'm from, where the waters are way cleaner than these waters over here in Israel? So he was completely missing really what was going on here. He was thinking purely about the physical. And this leprosy, as he's leaving in this rage, is not really his deepest problem. The leprosy is almost like a surfacey symptom of something much deeper that's going on as he's leaving and reasoning out loud, talking about how he had these expectations that this prophet of God was going to come out and kind of put on a real special effects kind of show, wave his hand over the place and call him the name of the Lord his God out of the clouds and, you know, just strike the leprosy away. And so as he's leaving, if the listeners haven't caught it yet, his real problem, what you discover, was his pride. It was his ego. And so it was going to take an act of humility and trust. And so as he's going off in this rage, thankfully he's surrounded by some men that care about him, and they're just thinking to themselves, probably, we just need to get our name in back over there in front of that God of Israel. So they're just trying to reason with them, and he finally decides, okay, I'll do it. And I think he understands now, as he's making this change of direction and going back, there's a whole lot more going on than a mere physical change of direction. There's something emotional, intellectual, most importantly, spiritual change. I think he understands, in order for me to be saved, in order for me to live, right now, what I got to do, I got to die to self. I got to humble myself. In a sense, this walk that I'm going to make out there to that water is sort of like a walk to my own funeral. You know, the old me has got to go. And what he's doing is he's putting his faith, his trust, not in the water. I think he gets it now. It's not the water. It's the God of Israel. If I trust him, he'll do the heavy lifting. And so he does just that. You know, and so making that walk was that walk of, you know, stripping away the armor, was really stripping away the pride. Going into that water was that act of faith and trust in that God of Israel. He dipped 7 times, as the prophet told him to do. He comes up, and that leprosy that he had, gone. He had brand new skin like that of a baby. Well, I remember listening to this and just feeling captivated by the story. And I kind of felt like I was at a movie, and I loved going to the movies at that time, especially because, you know, for a little bit, you don't have to be yourself. For a little bit, you could go into this, you know, sort of air-conditioned facility, and they bring the lights down, and you don't got to worry about your problems and what you got going on in your life. Just for a little bit, you get a little reprieve, a little break, and you live vicariously through the characters that you watch. Well, I am right there with this Naaman. I am relating to how, you know, he's just got this struggle that's going on. Sounds like the guy could have been a SEAL, had there been just a thing during his time. And just like so many of the typical hero movies out there, you know, he goes through some type of adversity. And then there's this sort of transformation process that takes place, a sort of arc of the character. And then, you know, it all works out for the hero in the end. And I know what happens here. The movie's over. And when the movie's over, the lights come back on. And as the lights are coming back on, those credits roll, and it's no longer time to take a break anymore. Now it's time to return to your life. Well, I think I'd like to make a point to anyone listening right now that the credits don't roll right there. And as I learned that night, just as God provided a way out for Naaman, he's provided a way out for you and I as well, out of this human condition problem. And it doesn't come in the form of going and dipping ourselves in the Jordan River somewhere. What God did was he dipped his son, that's Jesus of Nazareth, his holy, perfect son, down into the world. And that Jesus, he lived a holy, perfect, sinless life, the life that none of us can ever claim that we lived, you know, because we have all fallen short. And if people listening right now haven't caught it yet, let me point this out, that leprosy in the Old Testament, that mess that Naaman had on him, that skin disease that was destroying him, he's all spotted and blotted and blemished with it, and there was nothing he could do to get it off of himself. That leprosy in the Old Testament is a picture of our sin. Spiritually speaking, we are spiritual lepers. We are spotted and blotted and blemished with sin, and there's nothing we could do to get that sin off of ourselves. But remember this Jesus, he's holy and pure without sin. And then he goes to the cross. And what was the purpose of him going to the cross? What was the purpose of that life coming into the world? Well, the scriptures are pretty explicitly clear. It says that you'll name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So here's the picture that took place at the cross. Jesus traded skin with you and I. He took our leprosy, our sin, as it were, upon himself, paid the penalty of that sin. The wages of sin is death. So he died there on that cross, paying for our sin in full so that we could be switched and lavished with God's grace and his mercy, so that God could look upon us as though we lived the perfect life that Jesus lived. So as an expression of God's justice, it's unleashed on the cross. Jesus dies in our place as though he lived the life that we lived so that we could be lavished with God's grace and his mercy as though we lived the perfect life that he lived. And then he rises again from the grave. And that is significant because that is God's, in a sense, verification. That's his authentication that this truly was my son, not just some prophet, not just some soothsayer. This truly was my son. God rose him from the grave, so it vindicated Jesus. He's no blasphemer, as the public accused him of. He's truly the son of God, and it also validates his teaching. And the validation is on exclusive teaching, like, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only one that can die for your sins. In fact, nobody else is even claiming to offer that to you. And so paying this penalty of sin in full at the cross, rising again from the grave, you know, it's made clear to me that this offers that you can have your forgiveness of sin, and you can have what you have always been missing, this right relationship with your Creator, because the scriptures say our sins have separated us from our Creator.
What another powerful program by Chad Williams, author of Seal of God. Really want to encourage you to go to his website, sealofchrist.com, to buy your book. He will actually send you an autographed copy, and he's also got some really cool t-shirts that help support his ministry. Check out sealofchrist.com.
Thank you for listening to Hope is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.